story.
We want it been.
I was going to start with a dad joke, but it just doesn't. It went out my head. Hey, Jason.
Yes.
Remember mashed potatoes or just Irish guacamole?
Oh, it took me a second. Did you know Kylo Ren has been seen in Olga's Cantina looking for a girlfriend?
Really? No.
Yeah, he's Ben Solo for too long. Kylo Ren has a new power source for a ship.
What's that?
It's something called an atom driver.
Jesus.
Those are sequel trilogy dad jokes.
Yeah. Need to come better prepared when I want to do a dad joke. First of all, let's do this. Welcome to episode 182 of the Smuggler's Galaxy podcast, your favorite Star Wars podcast for smugglers in the galaxy. I'm Glenn, and with me as always is Jason. So back to dad jokes.
Yes.
There's an Instagram account that I keep wanting to like go back to the dad jokes and use them on the show. But I think it's like overseas, so some of them don't hit because it's like talking about stuff that you'd only get if you were in England or something.
Lost in translation.
Yeah, it gets lost in translation, but it's still some of them are, but that's only about 10%. The rest of them are pretty good. So, yeah, we always love a good dad joke.
Of course.
Yeah. So how's your week?
If there's an eye roll, then it's enjoy it even more.
Exactly. It's always good to annoy the kids with a good dad joke.
Yes. So.
How's your week going?
It's been crazy. But it's winding down now. So it's been an adventure. We're good. Yeah. We're all good here now.
Mine wasn't as fun as yours, but stuff happened. So we all good.
I did log 21,878 steps at the Magic Kingdom, not the Magic Kingdom, Epcot Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, which equates to 10.5 miles of walking in a day.
You got to be in shape when you go to Magic Kingdom or Disney World. I still call it Magic Kingdom no matter what. It's always going to be Magic Kingdom to me because I'm old school like that. So even though I may be going to Hollywood Studios, I'm still going to Magic Kingdom.
I was pretty lethargic all winter long, so I was out of shape and sore the next day.
Oh, I bet.
But
there's there's not a cool tired like Disney tired.
No. I got a cool sequel trilogy Star Tours adventure where you go to Endor and there's the remnants of the Death Star like floating in the water as we saw in episode 9. And then the waves are like crashing the Star Speeder, so you're just like going up and down in the waves, and then you blast off into the Star Destroyer where a Dianoga attacks the ship. And then you shake it off. And you submerge under the water, and there's like 5 Dianogas just hanging out.
You know who would really enjoy that? Our buddy Jim.
Yeah, he would. And then you go to Exegol, and you fly through that whole battle at the end of episode 9. So, yeah, it was a sequel trilogy heavy one. I'm hopefully I can go back this summer. Because the Mandalorian and Grogu and Ahsoka will appear on Star Tours sometime after May. So I'm excited about that.
Cool. Yeah, I'm pretty jealous. I don't know when the next time I'm going to be at Disney is. Even though I'm going to be in Florida twice. But no Disney World for me.
Did go to Galaxy's Edge and hung out there. Didn't get any of the blue milk or things like that. We were just walking. Mm-hmm. Did go shop to shop, and I didn't see any of the Star Cruiser figures that I wanted. Did go to the Keystone Clothiers. They didn't have the action figure I wanted. They said all of the Star Cruiser stuff has been moved into Galaxy's Edge, so it just wasn't there. So that was a bummer, but it was good. And I did go to Olga's. My wife and I shared a drink. I did get a Yub Nub, and I was disappointed because the menu is scaled back at Galaxy's Edge at the cantina. They didn't have the pork drink anymore. They didn't have that Rancor flight, because that was one thing I was very interested in getting, because then I could fill it up with like M&Ms or Goldfish crackers for parties and stuff, so people could nibble on it. But it's not there anymore, and I really felt like that menu was scaled back. And nobody says Bright Suns anymore. Nobody says To the Spires. It's just becoming very normal.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like I keep saying, and I'm so thankful that I went early, like 2 months after it opened, because I went before they started changing everything back over, and people were like, I don't understand this Star Wars language. What is the, I don't know what, even though it says men's and ladies, you know, what's a refresher? What's that? You know, or I don't understand in the menu. So but yeah, it was pretty hardcore the first couple of months, and then it stinks that they, you know, or doing it, it's normal again. Because when I went this year or last year, it felt normal. It now, granted, it was a after hours event, but yeah, you're just like, oh, you're in part of a land, you know, you're in part of Disney World. You're not in Star Wars anymore, which definitely loses the what are you, the
Magic.
magic, yeah.
The illusion.
The illusion of being in Star Wars, at least. Yeah. And yeah, because I remember you, yeah, every time you used to walk around, people were Bright Suns, Rising Moons, To the Spires, and now you to look at them and tell them that, and they're like, what?
There was a couple like welcome travelers, but that was the extent of that language. And Kylo and the stormtroopers are still walking around, which is cool.
Hey, at least you still got that. I didn't, well, I saw Chewie and Rey, but I didn't see any stormtroopers.
I didn't see Chewie, Rey, or Vi, but I did see the First Order walking around, so that was good.
Awesome. Anything else to fun to report from your trip?
I did go to the Webster Swap-O-Rama flea market, and I did pick up a vintage 1977 Star Wars lunchbox metal one. It was only $4, so I was like, I don't have it. For $4, I'll grab that.
That was a, I think, a steal.
The edges were rusted, but the images themselves on the front, the back, the sides, I mean, there's scratches. It's not perfect, but there's no major dents or blemishes that make me say, I don't want that at all.
Right. And
So,
even if there was for $4, you just kind of do it.
it's a good, maybe it's something that placeholder until I get a good one,
Yeah.
or maybe I never get a good one and this is it. And so either way, it was a nice
Or
piece.
maybe you just take your lunch in it to work.
Maybe I'll just take my lunch and it to work.
Yeah.
But that was it. I got the Yub Nub cup and I got that lunchbox. That's all I picked up this week, but it was a good week.
Awesome.
Just busy.
Yeah, I booked a Disney cruise.
Yeah, you did.
We were
So, in other
planning.
words, what you're saying is you picked nothing up this week.
No, I picked up. I picked,
Oh.
well, what did I pick up? The only thing I picked up was that stupid freaking Ezra Pop that I curse myself every time they release a new pop, Funko Pop from Rebels. Because I have to buy it, because that's the only pops I kept, and you know it I feel that I got to keep that up. But this one was, I think it's somebody, it's an exclusive to some toy company, and it's the finishing. It's the Ezra's last pose where he's holding back Thrawn and then holding
Oh.
the starship together, and I'm just like, damn you, Funko. So and.
Are they going to do that with Kanan holding out his hand in his last pose with fire burning his face?
You want to see some people cry
Too soon? Okay,
too
we'll move on.
soon. It's only been 10 years, but it's still too soon.
Too soon. Too soon.
And then Five Below had a bunch of the He-Man figures for like $5. So I picked up Pig Face and the Sorceress for $5. I mean, I don't know what's going on with that toy line, but I don't know if it's just people have learned to wait for stuff to go on clearance and that's what they do or what, but that toy line it for amazing figures, because those are really good figures. You know, it Hasbro, y'all should look at the He-Man line and see what you're getting for $25. I don't know why they go down the mid. I don't know, but there's a lot of people that love that line. And
I have some news about the toy industry, so we can get into that in just a minute. But something else I was going to say, but I lost it. I should have wrote.
Yes.
Did you get the new Sabine plush
from Walmart?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. I saw that last night on my drive home.
Yeah,
I decided to stop in.
Yeah, I've been really frustrated with the Walmarts because with anything, it feels like you're waiting for something to drop. It feels like they're getting ready to redo. I mean, I've said that for a few months, but right now you can kind of definitely feel the ramp up, and they're just not putting anything out. Maybe I don't know if Easter's a big toy like buying time or not. You know, as far as like real toys versus Easter toys, you know, plushes and stuff. But yeah, you definitely. It just, I don't know. I don't know why I do it to myself, but it just feels like I have to stop in almost every Walmart just to see what happens. And
Hasbro had a disappointing fourth quarter.
Did they really? I wonder why.
Sales tumbled 23% compared to a year ago.
Mm.
Mattel was pretty flat. That was probably because of the Barbie movie.
You think they had to make up money for, they had to pay for the Barbie, because they had to pay for the Barbie movie?
No, I think we're just talking about Mattel sales, not licensing.
Okay.
So I think because of the Barbie movie, people bought Barbies.
Oh, gotcha. You're going the good way, not the bad way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, it'd be like Hasbro, where it would be a dip. Overall, U.S. toy sales plummeted 8% to $28 billion last year, rising 1% in 2023. So that's still a loss. To contrast that, demand fueled 17% revenue growth in 2020 because of the pandemic. And then it was 16% in 2021 as the pandemic kind of trailed off. So there's a steep decline compared to the increase during the pandemic to where we are now. But this is all according to a New York Post article. Jay Foreman, who's the chief executive of Basic Fun, which makes toy Tonka trucks, Care Bears, and Light Bright, says that airplanes are full, restaurants are full, the bowling alley is full. People are just spending a lot less on toys, and they're going out. So the money, discretionary funds, are not going to toys.
Yeah, I you could feel that happening towards the end of the pandemic when people had the all clear to do stuff, that money got spent elsewhere.
Interestingly, privately held MGA Entertainment, a maker of LOL Surprise, Little Tykes, and Bratz dolls, said they expected to grow by 80% in 2024. They are privately held, so they're not beholden to stakeholders, and they're not creatively stifled because they can make challenges and they can take swings. Whereas, you know, in a publicly held company, you take a swing and you miss, the CEO is out. So they're going to be less inclined to do something.
Right. Well, those LOL dials are pretty popular. I know my granddaughter likes them.
Yeah, but they're innovative and different compared to Barbies and other things.
Right. I'm definitely scared for where the toy industry is going to happen, or what's going to happen with the toy industry in the next few years. You know, we'll see. I am, you know, well, we were talking last night, and it's like, do we just set fire to all our stuff in like 5 years and just be like, it's worthless, or you know, you just enjoy it till it turns to dust. because I don't know what, you know.
I don't know.
I think there'll be a market.
Collect what you love.
Yeah, collect what you love and enjoy it while you can. Yeah, and if you want to spend money on experiences, I think that's where a lot of people are going, including the toy industry. I think a lot of people are wanting to spend money on experiences now because you're at a point now to where you've collected everything you want and you kind of see the future. And it's like, I want to collect experiences. I don't want to collect toys right now.
Yeah.
And memories and stuff. Yeah. I mean, hell, it travel's expensive. It's scary when you book stuff and you see how expensive it is.
Yeah. Steve Evans posted a TVC checklist on Facebook. In it, he revealed that the new Salacious Crumb is VC66A, which left me frustrated because it's uncalled for.
What would you have liked to have seen done different?
Just call it VC66.
How would they have? They have to have some kind of way to differentiate it, don't they?
Well, it's a new card back. Okay. The original version was Revenge of the Jedi. This is Return of the Jedi. And it's a new mold of Salacious Crumb. It's not even like they're repainting and repacking. This is a new mold. So it's just uncalled for. I felt like this was something to appease the lords of a specific Facebook group who use their 20,000 plus numbers to blackmail Hasbro into making whatever toys that they want.
Because
they're the ones that told Hasbro that it's not a good idea to do VC66 so they can preserve their $1,500 figure. They preserve the value. They've never done this before. They re-released Ahsoka when she was going up to $1,000. She was still VC, what is it, 102?
Okay.
And so I feel like this is an unnecessary asterisk. I feel like it's dumb and stupid. It's misguided. It's literally a $4 piece of plastic. And so, I mean, the counterpoint is, so why do you care so much? Well, I do.
Yeah.
And I think in an industry that's dying like this, we want to attract people. We want to make it easy for people to join toy collecting. And if you start putting things behind a $15 paywall and people can't collect them all, they're going to say, forget this. This is not worth my time or effort. And it's the new people who come into the hobby who start buying things and supporting Hasbro will help them increase their budget, increase funds to make other figures. This kind of thinking to preserve my investment in modern figures is ridiculous because it's going to result in TVC eventually going away.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm associating this with the figure that I like, a Salacious Crumb, and I'm upset that there's an asterisk there. It's in general, it's just going to happen if things go behind paywalls, if it becomes difficult to collect them all, it's going to result in people walking away. And this was Hasbro's fault for putting a VC66 on a figure that's essentially behind a paywall. You had to go to San Diego Comic-Con to get the thing. You had to pay $150. Those landlocked on the East Coast are SOL.
Right.
So whatever. Moving on.
Yeah. So when you said the $15 paywall, is there a reason behind that, or you just?
That's just the current value of EC66, and it remains to be seen.
$1,500, not $15. Okay.
$1,500. It remains to be seen if this new release will drop the price of that original release. But like I said, it's a different figure, different card back, different number. So now, if you have a checklist, you're going to have VC66 and you're going to have VC66A.
Right.
So it's not like if you buy this, you're going to just check the box of VC66A, not VC66, but whatever. I'm going to move on. I've vented enough.
At least you're getting the figure. I mean, I feel your pain, and it does suck, but I mean, at least you're getting the figure without having to spend the money. I know for a newer collector, that's important because you did have when the Retro line came out and people were able to buy a 12 back figure for $12. That was a big, you know, the newer collectors that couldn't afford to spend thousands of dollars for a 12 back, they were happy to spend the $10 on the Retro line and at least fill a hole in their collection or you know, make Because I mean, they do look good. You put them in a piece of acrylic that costs more than the figure, and they look great. And yeah. I mean, I say that jokingly because I've got a lot of acrylic that's worth more than the figures they're in. But they just look so good when you put a figure like that in a piece of acrylic, you know, in an acrylic case. One thing, I mean, Steve seems to be, because I mean, I follow him on Instagram, and he is definitely a lot more active than past people have been on in Hasbro, and it feels like he was put in charge, or somebody told him, hey, you need to be transparent, you need to talk to these people, you need to be engaging. And he definitely is. So I mean, that's a breath of fresh air for those people, you know, for collectors. And you know, maybe he'll, I hope he can turn the toy line around. I hope he can turn Star Wars around. And I mean, you know, he's already done several checklists. He's already like, hey, what do you guys think? What do you guys want to see? You know, definitely, you know, seems to be a move in the right direction. I know he had posted, you know, how do we become more engaging? And I just threw up like, well, why don't you do like a collector of the week, collector of the month type thing? I know it'd probably be crazy to do something like that with that big of a company, but I know like Sideshow does it all the time. You know, they'll have like a focus in on a collector, you know, and it'd be something pretty simple to do, it, you know, put somebody on that and you can, you know, I'm sure you'd have a ton of people that would want to show off their collections on the Hasbro website. And it'd be a way to get people involved. I also put jokingly, you know, no more repaints, but I think a lot of people did. But, you know, I mean, I'm just happy that he's putting himself out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a change of pace. I think it's important to have some sort of strong connection to the community. And I think that was lacking.
Yes.
It was more of, here, this is what we're doing now. And people going, we don't want that. And just silence.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just like when you look at Cosmic Legions, that's how they make their money. I mean, I wasn't into them, but then you get around the community when you're at a show and you figure out how cool they are and you figure, you know, you get in, you meet the people who make them. I mean, they have the owners of the company there selling you a figure. And that helps out tremendously. You know, when you're coming from an underground market, or not underground, but you know, you're trying to do marketing, grassroots marketing. If you could do it well, people will support you just because they like you.
Yeah.
So.
Rumor has it that the Acolyte will premiere on June 5th. If I haven't seen an official announcement yet on StarWars.com or Star Wars Facebook, so I'm going to say that it's rumor right now. But I mean, that could change because so many outlets were reporting that this week. The Bad Batch will finish up May 15th, so that would leave a couple of weeks before Acolyte comes out. So that's a possibility.
I'm very interested to see the Acolyte. Let's see what they do with it. Because there again, it's Star Wars that we hadn't seen before.
Yep. Yep, we'll see. I'm excited about that for the exact same reason. And then finishing up the news, but tying into the next subject. It's called a transition, people. Watch it happen.
Dude, are we doing like legit podcast stuff?
We're doing legit podcast stuff. So last week, we had a very successful show. We got lots of feedback based on our 2024 bingo. And I'm happy to report that there was some news this week about some of the things that we, you know, you can't see my paper.
No, I was about YouTube. To tell you. You still
I completely disappeared in Zoom. But according to a Variety article, Samuel L. Jackson was asked about Mace Windu, and he said he's not dead. When the subject was brought back up about having some sort of Disney Plus series, Samuel L. Jackson said, everything, yes. And so if you remember from last week, we said that Mace Windu will return in content. So that's just proof right there that Samuel L. Jackson is ready to go and ready to swing the purple blade again.
So you could put like a slash through it, not a full X.
No, I'm not going to do that yet because okay. Something like Mace Windu will return in content. So I was very specific because I don't want talk like this. I want actual results.
I want to see that purple bladed mother effer.
Yeah, the return of Mace Windu is how I posed it. So
gotcha.
And then the other piece of news from our bingo card, we said that at D23, something will be announced with the Star Cruiser, or the Star Cruiser will return. And this week, Disney filed construction permits to do some work on the Star Cruiser. It's a graphic design company, so I'm not sure if they're doing graphic work inside. I guess they do awnings as well. So this could just be maintenance, you know, maintaining the property so it doesn't fall in disarray. And then they have to spend more money to get it back up and running. But yeah, something's going to happen there. I don't know if they're going to have some sort of bus that'll take people to the Star Cruiser to enjoy a couple hours at the Star Cruiser if you're in Galaxy's Edge. I don't know if they're going to expand it and make it like an expansion pad for Galaxy's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only issue I have if they want to do like a 4-hour thing is I don't want to have to pay for a Disney World ticket and then lose 4 hours at Disney World or at MGM to go to the Star Cruiser. I want it to be two separate. You know, you can buy a ticket to the Star Cruiser independently of buying an MGM ticket or Hollywood Studios ticket.
Yeah.
Because I hate when they do that. You're like, hey, for it. If it's like $50.
They do that on purpose to cha-ching.
Right. If it's like $50 or $100, I would suck it up. But if it's several hundred dollars, I don't want to have to. Don't make me double dip. Don't double dip in my pocket so that I have to buy two tickets to go do it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like it's just like cruise food. You can go buy like a $50 Wagyu steak for it on a cruise. Because you're paying for the month, you know, you're paying half of it up front.
Yep. Got a lot of feedback from that last episode on YouTube. Dan said, love the predictions. At least some are bound to come true, ? I sure hope so. Spot on commentary about the untapped potential of the Kenner Retro line. Would jump at a chance for a new Death Star HasLab. The Micro Galaxy Squadron hit a nerve. I haven't been so delighted and frustrated by a toy line in a long time. They're gorgeous to look at and so finely detailed and crafted. And the powers that be simply don't seem to understand how to get product into stores, and they need to make popular figures and ships widely available and limit the chase's rare nonsense to less sought-after variables. That you don't make Luke's Landspeeder a rare ship because it's iconic. It's an iconic vehicle that the average person will recognize while making a Saga Ventress ship or the V-Wing your common widely produced vehicles. Oh, well, on to the next. I really like the G.I. Joe Classifieds. I really like what G.I. Joe Classifieds are doing with their line.
So yeah.
I appreciate that, and I agree. Yeah, Retro line seems to be the sweet spot.
Yeah. Going back to, I got a couple of things on that. Thinking about the G.I. Joe, that Jeep that they're doing, I went and looked at my N1 Starfighter. That's like it was originally like $130 ship. You look in the cockpit and all the controls are just painted blue. There's no detail on any of the controls. Whereas that Jeep's a Black Series, you know, 6-inch scale. So the controls are a lot bigger. You could do more with it, but they didn't even try on the N1 Starfighter. So, you know, that's frustrating when that comes to that, but it is what it is. And as far as Micro Galaxy Squadron, I totally agree. They should have never made that. And that's what I thought they were going to do, was like the Luke Landspeeder. That was going to be a common figure. And then they should have done something to where it was just going to do repaints as the rare and the chases. But then they make, you know, like you said, a ship that everybody would want in their collection. You're going to make that a chase, and then nobody's going to care. People are going to get mad. People are going to get frustrated. And yeah, it's very, I keep saying it until it's hard to find those ships. And it's frustrating when you see a ship that can't find in the States, Sabine's TIE Fighter. And I'm going to bitch about that till I have one in my collection. Or I see one in a store, but truthfully,
or I die.
One of the three. It's frustrating when that's a ship you've been looking for, and you see them show up in Canada, you see them show up in Spain, you see them show up in Mexico, and it's not like one or two people. It looks like they're shipping cases to people, you know, and people are finding three or four of them in Mexico. And then it's like, why aren't we getting those in the States? So, and you know, like I said, I really think at the end of this series five that they're either going to go 100% online with that through Amazon or through their website, or you're not going to be able to find them in stores.
Yeah. I worry about it specifically when they put, like he was saying, well-recognized ships like the Landspeeder that everybody's going to want, because it's a 40-year-old ship that's kind of attached. It's part of our DNA, essentially, yeah, when it comes to Star Wars, and putting it behind a chase wall where it rewards the people who find it first and can flip it for $400, because it's going to be a ship that people want, which means that the secondary market is going to jack the price up.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Jazzwares needs to realize that the chases are hurting the brand. They think it makes it more collectible, but there's a dark side to that collectability. And the people who want it and to enjoy the toy, they're going to have to suffer if they can't. Essentially, rewarding the person who gets to the... It's a race against scalpers to the stores. And that's not what a toy line should be.
Exactly. And with them putting that big old chase sticker on it, you're going to get the dad or the mom that's with their kids in a toy aisle, and they'll look over and be like, ooh, I need to look at that. Yeah. And then they'll pull it up and look on eBay and figure out that it's selling for $300 or hell, even $50, and they're gonna pick it up.
Right. David Quinn from the Prototypes and Production podcast gave us a lot of positive feedback. One thing he suggested was actually making a bingo board. So we went ahead and did that. We have two versions on our Facebook page. So if you go to the Smugglers Galaxy Facebook group, there's a blank one so that you can make your own predictions for 2024. Sam Sams did that, and he shared a photo, which was great. He said he was looking to cover the board. So a lot of this stuff is probably going to happen for him. But the intent is to make it a outlandish, like, I didn't see that coming kind of prediction for Star Wars. So we also have our version of the board. So if you wanted to play along at home, you could download the completed board and just check things off as things happen. And you can play it along that way.
Yeah, I'm just pulling his up. He's like, Sam's family visits its Galaxy's Edge. It's like, duh.
I hope so. I hope that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, like AFA announces loose grading returns. Ollie's gets cases and skids of Walmart exclusive figures.
I mean, that's happening.
Right. Hasbro's live stream is deemed lame. It already is.
Yeah.
So it's all fun stuff like that. A new video game announced but never comes out. Oh, the Acolyte causes fans to complain. Yeah, you're looking at covering this whole thing, Sam, but it's great.
You can't please them all, so someone's going to complain about something at some point.
Right. It is funny. It is some funny stuff on there.
And then when I posted the bingo board, we got some comments there. Kieti Randy said, not sure we'll see Hasbro lose the license, but I'm predicting they drop either the Black Series or Vintage Collection this year. I think the profit margin on retro will make it the focus going forward. To which I responded, I just don't see them dropping a line right now because, like I said earlier in the show, CEO doesn't want to be responsible for losing money, so to speak. I know their profit margins dropping a little bit, but I just didn't see it happening. To which Jesse Gilmore said, lines get dropped all the time. Hasbro still would have the license and figure things out. Easy to say that they're pivoting Hasbro to the 5POA figures.
I'd love to see the retro line continue because that, like I said, man, they could do some crazy stuff with that if they really wanted to.
And then the other thing that Kieti Randy posted, he said that we've been hearing whispers of resting the TVC line for a long time, and the lack of world building options has caused Black Series to lose a lot of steam. I think the price increases for both lines are causing many collectors to reevaluate their buying habits and leaving significant numbers of figures on pegs. To which I said, I seem to remember when TVC came back, they kind of said, like, this is going to be limited.
Mm-hmm.
That was in 2018. And so this is longer than I think limited. It's continuing today. So yeah, I could see them retiring it, and I, or not retiring it, but putting it on the shelf and making it come back in 5 years, but we'll see.
Yeah. Guess we'll see what this year holds and how much damage all the packaging, all the repacks and repaints have done.
I also was thinking about the Retro Blue Snaggletooth figure, and I'm wondering if that would be more of a 2027 release because that's the 50th anniversary of Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Who knows if the retro line will last that long? I mean, it seems to be little waves here and there. It's not like a year-long thing. It's like here's another box, here's another box.
I can see them just if they do rest the retro line, them just bringing it back and saying we're doing this figure. You
Yeah.
know, they can do a one-off figure, no problem. If they wanted to.
And the one prediction that you made, Luke and Leia will be recast for the Mando series, is the one that I've thought about a lot this past week, where
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, I could see that actually happening. I think I want that.
Yeah. I'd be down for that. I would be okay. I mean, every other franchise does it. I don't know why we're so obsessed with Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill playing those characters.
Yeah, it'd be just like James Bond.
Right.
I mean, Carrie Fisher could be your favorite Leia, but give someone else a chance. I'd love to see more stories of Leia.
Yeah.
She's such a firecracker.
She is.
What else did you want to talk about?
Well, there's that Disney question I had, and then what? Man, it stinks that I should have wrote it all down, and I'm like, because I had
Well,
like it was
there's
like
the
we had
Bad
so
Batch too.
much, huh?
There's the Bad Batch
Oh yeah,
too.
we could talk a little bit about what do you want to talk about first? You want to? We'll leave Bad Batch for so. When I it was my grandmother's birthday last weekend, and we were hanging out and talking. I've got a cousin. I've got two cousins that one's in his, I think, mid-30s, one's in his late 20s. And we were talking about Disney World with, I was talking about Disney World with my one that's in his late 20s. And we were just talking Disney, talking about the cruise that I booked and blah. And he goes, and we were talking because my crew, we originally had planned that we were going to go to Disneyland and then spend some time with my wife's aunt, but we've just been spending too much time with family, not in a bad way, just I'm getting tired of going on vacation and try to spend time with my wife. And then we end up spending time with her family. And I'm like, I want to spend time with you. Nothing against family. You know, I want one-on-one time. So we had decided to change it up and go on the cruise. And then we're talking about that. And he goes, yeah, I go to California or go to Disney like once a year. I'm like, World? He goes, no, I go to California once a year. I go to Disney World like once a month. And then my other cousin chimes in. He goes, why would you do that? There's so much more of this world to see. I'd rather go do other stuff. So I was just kind of curious how, I mean, I looked at both of them and I go, I could see both points because, and
Right.
he was just, he didn't, the older cousin didn't understand Disney World being somebody's happy place, where he's like, my world is the world's my happy, traveling's my happy place. So I mean, I'm like, you know what? I'd do both if I could, because my younger cousin's like, I have a AP, an annual pass, and I have rewards points, so I'll end up basically it's a free trip, girl bath. You know, all he has to do is pay for gas and food because he ends up working it to where he's not really paying. But I was just curious how you felt about that. I mean, I love Disney World. I don't know if I can do a 12 trips a year to Disney, but I mean, I can see doing two trips a year to Disney or a trip a year to Disney and then going somewhere else, which is what we've kind of been doing. I mean, how do you feel about that?
I say to each their own. I mean, whatever works for you works for you. The nice thing about Disney is it's a place where it's familiar. You can
Yeah.
forget all of your worries. You can pretend that you're in Tomorrowland and you're immersed in Galaxy's Edge and you've known this place. You don't have to worry about dealing with different languages or different customs or trying to figure out where to eat because I mean, if you're going there once a month every year or once a month for a year, you're going to know the restaurants, you're going to know the park like the back of your hand. It's a nice way to escape and pretend like the stuff that you have going on at home doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So but at the same time, like I don't want to do that either. I want to go see some of the world. There's places in America that I want to see. There's places overseas that I want to see. So yeah, I don't have the answer. I guess it's just to each their own.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Because yeah, and then it's like traveling. Yeah, there's stuff overseas I'd like to see, but there's America is huge. So there's a lot more of here that I want to see. And then the cruise that, you know, that cruise is just a way reason to get away where there's stuff to do where you're in an all-inclusive place and you're not going to get bored. But you know, the ports are secondary to being on the cruise ship. But yeah, no, and truthfully, if I wanted to do world travel, I had no clue where I'd want to go. You know, I would pick stuff out here locally, or not locally, but in America that I want to see versus going to other countries. Plus, because like you said, it is hard. I don't want to go anywhere where I don't know the language, because it bothers me when people, you know, it's like, please learn the language, or please at least have a working knowledge of the language when you come here. Yeah. And I don't want to do that. You know, I'm not going to do that to myself or to other people, even though I know English is a very well-known language. And at least if you do come here, you know, if you stay in the country, you know, you don't have to learn a bunch of stuff. You already know the language, you know the food, you know the culture, or at least for the most part. But anywho.
That's pretty much all I have to say about that.
All you have to say about that. So
Bad Batch? Yeah,
Bad Batch.
Was it a good batch or was it a bad batch of episodes?
I think it was a good batch. I actually, watching it, I am starting to like the fact that Disney are, they're like releasing three or four episodes to start, or two or three episodes to start.
Especially that.
Say that again?
Especially that group of episodes.
Right. Because it feels like the first few episodes are arc builders or story builders. So when they release them back, you know, all at one time, it feels like they know, okay, these are going to be story builders, so let's release them all at one time. That way people aren't mad and watch, and then they got to wait a week. And it's like, man, these first three episodes are dragging, where when you release them all at once, you get the whole story.
Yeah, I struggled with the first. I mean, I was distracted with other things going on in my life, so I was having trouble connecting to the episodes. But even with that said, we've seen like movies like The Shawshank Redemption, where being in jail is not the conflict. Being in prison is not the conflict. It's living in prison. And so I'm like, not really caring that Omega's in jail, because it seems like she's got a good life. I mean, she's like an assistant and she's helping out. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, we've got to escape. Okay.
Right.
And then we just continue with her life. And I'm like, I'm having trouble with this. I'm trying to understand the emotional context. And it seems like she's okay with being in jail. She's, we need to escape. And I'm feeding this creature here. And, but it seems like I'm happy. It doesn't seem like she's depressed or anything. Like, she's making the best of it. She's making toys. We see her look out the window to long to get out, but for the most of it, she seemed fine. And like, I had trouble connecting with that.
Yeah, no, because I agree with that, because it did seem she wasn't happy, but she was, like you said, she was okay. And part of me is going, man, that, you know, I mean, I understand you're working, but you ain't got to worry about bills or life, you know, outside of your 10 hours, 12 hours a day, whatever, 24, whatever you're doing. You know, that's kind of nice. But yeah, it didn't feel bad. And what else?
So an M count in blood, is that the midichlorian count?
I'm assuming. It might be. I mean, I don't know what else it would be.
So I didn't understand why they were, like, did all the clones have high, or was there some sort of expectation that clones had a high midichlorian count?
This is the first I'm hearing about it. I also, when they mentioned Necromancer, I'm like, ooh, let me go look at that. And it's only been mentioned. I thought that they had more to it. So it's very...
I mean, that has to be the cloning program to bring back the Emperor after he dies.
Right, but I thought that they had done more explaining of it instead of just mentioning it a couple of times. But yes, I totally expect that, and that may be what they're looking for. I didn't understand how they're like collecting her blood every day. It's like it's never going to change.
Right. You got it once. Nope, not the one. Okay, move on. It's not like in 3 weeks it's suddenly going to have an M count higher than it was.
Right, unless they're doing stuff to her that she doesn't know about. That I didn't get. Go ahead.
The innuendo is that she's been special from the start. We just don't know why or don't know how. Like,
right.
Tech was enhanced with the smarts. Wrecker was enhanced with the muscle. Hunter was enhanced with like a sense of hunting,
right, a tracking ability.
Tracking, and then Crosshairs obviously was the ability to have a sharp eye and to hit things when needed. And the Omega was part of that program, but we just never really knew. And people thought maybe it was her leadership skills,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like she's got midichlorian counts or something.
Is baby, I guess Grogu would fall into that timeline, right?
Grogu is alive at this period, yes.
Okay. I wonder if they have him. Go ahead.
He's been released, picked up by Jar Jar Binks.
Okay.
By now.
I wonder if they had some of his blood or something that they've been working with.
And by Jar Jar Binks, I mean, you know, Ahmed Best is a Jedi character. I just want to clarify before people start raging at us.
Got it wrong. I just wrecked.
it's not my fault.
All right. So we're back from everybody wrecking.
Yeah. We just had to help clean up the wreck and mop up some of the gasoline. Sorry.
Yes. No, I wonder if they've got some of his blood that they maybe put into the clones, and maybe she's starting to get some metachlorian counts, or I miss the M count, but maybe, I don't know. I sometimes miss stuff like that, that's what they were looking for. It felt like there was a time jump, right? Did you sense a time jump?
A little bit, maybe a year has passed since we last saw them.
Well, no, I'm talking like they had Omega. It felt like there was Omega, and like she went to sleep, and then the next morning when she woke up, she had like a ponytail. So it felt like there was a time jump.
Maybe I missed that because, like I said, I was kind of distracted.
Yeah. So I felt, and then when they went back to the ship that had crashed, it was very overgrown. So that had been, it's been years.
Good point.
You could tell she's been there for a while, and Wrecker or whatever
Wrecker? Had said,
Wrecker? Or was it, what's the Rambo looking dude?
Hunter
was saying that it's been a long time that they're trying to find her. And there's definitely a time jump. But what I didn't understand was they were at Mount Tantiv at the end of last season, right?
Yes.
Why didn't they just go back there to find her? Because
They were not at Mount Tantiv during that Skyliner sequence. That's a different planet.
Okay, I guess we've talked, and I assume that was Mount Tantiv, but I guess
no. They snagged Omega, and then they took her from that planet to Mount Tantiv.
Okay, gotcha. So that's what confused me a little bit too, because I assume that was what it was at the end of last season.
Nope.
Awesome. No, I'm happy with it. It does feel like it's going to be more of a consecutive storyline or conclusive storyline or more flowing storyline. Maybe it'll be one to where we're getting Crosshair and Omega. That's going to be our week to week storyline, and then you'll see Hunter and Rekka do the more of the I gotta find him and do some of the one off stuff. How many episodes is it? 16 episodes or something crazy?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's a good amount of episodes. I mean, we just got three, so that's 3 weeks right there. I'm enjoying it. I want to see where they're going to go with it, because I really think it's going to tie up some loose ends. I think Dave, because Dave's still part of it, right?
Yeah, he's a producer. I don't know what his involvement is. I mean, he's busy working on Ahsoka and probably helping with the Mando movie.
I think this is going to lead into a lot of tie, is going to tie up some loose ends. That's what we should have put on the bingo card. Mando is going to show up in Bad Batch, but I don't think the timeline lines
No,
up.
I think that's gonna happen.
Because
No,
it's that Bad Batch is
no,
Clone Wars, like past is Order 66 era. And
yeah.
Mando is like 15, 20 years later, right? Something like that.
Yeah, he was a kid. Yes, yeah,
Just
correct.
make math easy. Don't make me math, Jason.
I mean, it's 18. It's supposed to be 18 years between Revenge of the Sith when Grogu gets taken by Jar Jar Binks, and I know it's not Jar Jar Binks, and start of A New Hope where Luke is supposed to be 18, and then we've got another 5 years or so
Okay.
before Return of the Jedi, and then this takes place 5 years. I'm still not clear if it's 5 years after Return of the Jedi or 5 years after the Battle of Yavin, the Mandalorian verse.
Okay, so 20 to 30 years, somewhere in that.
All right.
Okay.
If someone said that the Mandalorian was 35, 40, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. That would make sense. But he could also be, yeah, whatever. Yeah, no, because I think they said that Bo-Katan was like 5 or 10 years older than him, and she's like 40, between 40 and 50 in the Mandoverse or Mandalorian.
On a positive,
Oh, go ahead.
positive side, I do like that they're setting up the redemption of Crosshairs. I'm sure he's going to redeem himself right before he dies.
Yeah, if he hadn't already, because it felt like him and Omega had been talking a lot, and they were scheming and planning before we saw them. And you know, because he was like, "Well, what's the plan? What's this? What's that? What's your objective?" And she's like, "My objective is to leave." And he's like, "Well, why are you here with me? Well, I want to take you out too, you know, bring you with me and stuff." So it definitely felt like they had been scheming and planning for a minute.
I also like that they escaped in the first three episodes. My big fear was that we would have 15 episodes of Omega in prison and Hunter and Wrecker trying to find her, and then in the last episode they break her free, or you know, halfway through the season they break her free. And I'm glad to see that we're not going to be stuck in prison all season long.
Yeah. One way out.
And if Omega doesn't die at the end of the season, I do hope we get some sort of epilogue to show that she's lived a happy life, but she stayed out of the fight, which would explain why she hasn't been involved with like A New Hope in Empire and Mandoverse. Because I don't want her to suddenly show up in the Mandoverse just because we know that she's alive, because it's like, where has she been? It's rather convenient. You know, it's more convenient in our physical world. You know, this character's now on the table, so in 2024, let's plop her into the skeleton crew or whatever the case may be, because I just don't see that as being, it seems contrived, it doesn't seem natural and organic. So I hope like at the end of season, was it 7 of the Clone Wars, where we saw that sequence with Darth Vader looking at Ahsoka troopers, I hope we get something like that where Omega is just living nice on a farm and she's old and happy and she's content or something along those lines, rather than forcing her into new content.
Right. I mean, I don't, I wouldn't mind seeing a cameo of her because they've done pretty decent at doing cameos. And you know, the same thing, epilogue, whatever. But yeah, it does suck because you know that something's gonna have to happen to all those characters that we've fallen in love with over the last 3 years. They're either gonna die or they gotta go away some kind of way at the end of this season.
Did you ever see the, have we talked about this, that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I used to like them when I was a teenager, but I haven't gotten back into them.
No, like the Bad Batch are essentially the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, Tech is Donatello, Hunter is Leonardo, Wrecker is Michelangelo, because he's fun loving. And then Crosshairs is Raphael, the troubled one.
I've never seen that, but it makes sense.
An Omega Splinter, and I just made that up.
Omega's April.
April O'Neil. So yeah, I also want to thank Darth Corgi for the 5-star review on iTunes. We appreciate the kind words in the review. That really, again, helps us out always. So thank you, Darth Corgi. Anything else?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I mean, I told you last night I should have wrote everything down because last night I was like, we've got so much to talk about. And then we get here and we're like, what are we going to talk about, Jason?
I didn't say that. We talked about it a lot today.
I did. Yeah. It's been a little over an hour. So I think we're good. Rogue Fund's in what, 3 months? 2 months now?
2 months. We're about 2 months and a couple of weeks away. We just posted an excursion book. Based off of the Wish book, which was a Sears thing. I was trying to tie in, you know, Jerry's doing the whole Sears Wish book, the history of that, and all of the exclusive Sears collectibles with the Kenner line for Star Wars. So I made an excursion thing, things to do in Georgia, in Atlanta. So if you wanted to get out and about and you had some time to kill, check that out. And then also I think this week, Ryan's posting swag, if I remember right. We're making an announcement on swag.
Nice. Or like the swag contest or just poster swag?
No, we've already announced that. So if you have swag or you're attending Rogue Fun, send a photo to Narayan and he'll add you to the swag contest. But what we have this week is Factor swag. So I think it's the Fun Is With Me buttons.
Okay.
Or whatever it is.
Awesome.
And one with the Fun and the Fun Is With Me kind of stuff.
I can't keep up with the amount of swag that's coming out for this event. It's too much.
Well, there is no celebration this year. And as of right now, there's no other. Well, there's the May the North in August. But other than that, there's really nothing else going on in the States.
Right. Yeah. I'm really hoping 2017, 27 or 26 celebration will be stateside.
Yeah, I wonder if they take a year off from 26 to do 27, because that's the 50th. So I would assume that there's definitely something happening, but whether that's Anaheim or Orlando, I mean, that's a coin flip for me.
Right.
I think the coin is weighted more for Orlando, because there hasn't been one there in a while.
Right. It'd be nice to see it in Orlando, because it definitely would be cheaper to get there for us. And it would be cheaper all around, but I think this time, no matter where it is, I'm going to take a week, take a few days before celebration. That way I can sightsee, and not have to
unless
be
it's
like
Orlando. I mean, what's there to sightsee?
I can go to Disney World.
Oh, you go to Disney. Okay. And exhaust yourself before.
Well, you mean, I wouldn't want to, I mean, cause we talked to Tony about it and he goes, yeah, I was exhausted for celebration. Cause when they went, they did like all the tours of the shooting in the desert, all the stuff from A New Hope. And then they did Disney World, Disneyland. And then he's like, went straight into celebration. And he was like, I was done. So
maybe,
you're right. I don't know. I'd have to see if we get a table or if we get, you know, the same deal, you know, we're able to get the same benefits we had when it was in California. Cause that'll
I have an idea. I have it in Atlanta.
Dude, they just built a big old hotel right against the World Congress Center. It's got 1,000 rooms in it. I mean, I wouldn't be enough, but it'd be a good chunk. I think that's one of the things that's kind of stopped Atlanta from getting a lot of stuff is the hotels aren't on top of the Congress Center.
Yeah. I'll host a party at my place.
Yeah, I
collect a party.
Yeah, I would lose my crap if it was in Atlanta.
I'd sleep at night.
No, you wouldn't sleep at night because you're commuting.
In my bed.
Yeah, you could try to sleep in your bed, but
did we talk about episode one re-release? I can't remember if that happened.
We kind of mentioned it, but you are like all like, man, let's see if we can get a midnight showing on the Friday. And
well,
I'm like, dude.
I had people message me. Are we going to go to this? Are we doing a showing?
And I'm like, when are you going? You're already like, I'm such a crab. And you're like, let's do a midnight showing. I'm like, dude, you would not get to bed until you had to wake up. You would literally like go to bed and get like 2-3 hours of sleep on Friday night, Friday into
I'll be
Saturday.
Rocking like 5-hour energy drinks all weekend long. And I hate
you're
those.
You're going to be such a crabby patty. Oh,
what?
Because, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd
I
like
did
to see it. Go ahead.
You'd like to see me crabby?
No, I'd like to see you do it because I know when we went to Celebration, you were like, it's 2 a.m. in Atlanta. And I'm like, dude, no, it's midnight. But it's 2 a.m. in Atlanta. No, it's not.
I was
not.
Just stating facts. That's all I was doing. I can't help it if you're reading into the facts.
We're in the freaking Trader Sam's, and I, you know, you don't realize it. It's one of those where you, where you're like, I'm in downtown Disneyland, and you don't, you know what I mean? And you don't process it at the time because you're just so much going on. You don't process where you are, you know? But yeah,
I can just like, my senses start to slow. It's like, on TV, you remember like, old school when, Will Ferrell gets hit by the train, the dart, and he's, hey, what you're crazy, man. You're crazy. That's how my perception gets when I'm like exhausted. Everything starts getting slower, and I'm like, oh God, I gotta go to bed.
Right.
Like, there's a physical reaction that happens, but I was just stating facts that it was 2 a.m. in Atlanta time, and I'm sorry you inferred more into it. So that's your problem.
I would like to see it in California. I did, because I definitely think, you know, I'm definitely going to make that trip, but I want to see it. Truthfully, I'd love to see it in Orlando, because that's a trip that, you know, we could pack a car full of people and just go.
Yeah. We get on the bus.
Yeah.
The GASWC bus.
And just have a good time and go down there like either Tuesday night. Yeah, go down there on Tuesday or something. I don't.
Yeah.
And like I said, it all depends on if the club's able to get a table, if they're going to do club tables again or not. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't see that going away.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why. And it's probably a COVID thing, why they were so picky in Anaheim and not giving out all the clubs. Like, there was clubs who have been around for 20 years who didn't get a table.
Wow.
And then you've got us for, what was it, 4 or 5 years? 5 years? Just yeah, like, we hey, one. We're here next to Sarlacc, who's been here for 26 years.
I don't know.
Anyways,
that was a fun trip. I loved it. I got spoiled. It ruined Celebration for me, just so you know.
Yeah. And I think about that diner across the street. Remember that place? It was like a mom and pop diner shop. It wasn't like a Waffle House or a...
Oh, that we ate breakfast at?
Yeah.
Dude, that was awesome.
That was good breakfast.
Yeah, that's what I love to do. When I travel, I will find a breakfast spot and then I hit it every day.
Would you recommend Marietta Diner for people who are traveling here?
Yes.
What's the best diner in Atlanta? Don't say Waffle House.
No, I would. If they want a unique Atlanta experience, I'd send them to Marietta Diner.
Okay.
I mean, or they can go to Waffle House if they haven't had Waffle House. But Waffle House is uniquely Atlanta, but Marietta Diner, I think, is a little bit more iconic because there's only one, and it's 24 hours. It's a cool diner, and it's close. I don't know where else you would send them diner-wise, unless you want to send them like into downtown Atlanta, which I wouldn't want them to do.
Why is the Marietta, is it like a famous landmark, the Marietta Diner? Because I remember when we went there, they had pictures like with celebrities, and Miley Cyrus was one of them. And I'm like, what is this place? This is not like downtown Hollywood. This is Marietta.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I know that Drivers Dive-Ins and Drivers Dine-Ins and Dives or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever that Guy Fieri show. I mean, he was there, so maybe that's what it's got a little bit of stuff to it. It Marietta Diner, I think, is a diner on steroids, because it's not, you know, when you think
it's
of diner.
It's been expanded, too. You could tell, like, this is the new area.
Yeah. It's not like a quaint little diner, because you listen to David's podcast and there's this one diner he loves, and Marietta Diner's nothing like that diner. It's more like I said, a diner on steroids, because it's a late night fare. It's always busy. It's not like a quiet diner. It's a very busy diner.
Feels like a Las Vegas kind of diner, which, you know, is weird, but
yeah, that would be good. Yeah. And I mean, I've eaten there a few times. It's not like, oh my God, I got to go to Marietta Diner. But I mean, if you want a diner experience, I would go there. What else were we?
I don't know.
I don't know
how we got in a tangent. Anyways, Celebration Atlanta.
Celebration Atlanta. That would be
2027.
I'd take 2026. I'd take 2028. I'd take 2030. Why can't we do it in Atlanta?
We could. Just make sure you drink your water.
Right. Did you put Magic City down as places to see?
Magic City.
I'm going in the wrong direction. Like, very, like a, very
Is that an adult place?
It's an adult establishment, yes,
Yeah.
in
No, that's not
downtown.
on the excursion wish book. No, we've got like Second Chance, and I guess that's also Free Comic Book Day, May 4th. So go to Dr. No's. There, a couple people commented in the post about other places in the area that's doing Comic Book Day. So there's a lot to do, and if you plan your time right and you give yourself enough time to make it back, you'd be able to make the start of the show at 1:30. So it's a good time.
Yeah. That's what I'm more worried about is run a show, but I guess we'll worry about that later.
Yeah, that's more of an April problem. Right now it's and it right now it's just getting things ready for April, so I can worry about it then.
Right.
We're having fun here.
Yes,
It's all
we are.
rogue fun.
It'll be fun. It'll be fine. And people, they know we're not professionals, so.
Yeah,
And there's
it's
Toylana coming up next month, too.
Toylana. I'm excited. Are you looking for anything in Toylana? Are you searching for anything specific?
I'm always looking for Bill and Ted stuff. I'm always looking for Galactic Heroes stuff. Always looking for Rebels stuff. I know I'm probably not going to find anything there, but I'm always. Oh, wait. I say that. I'm not going to find anything vintage or anything that I'm really looking for. The Four Horsemen are going to be there. I know that's going to. I'm going to drop some money with them just because hopefully there's some figures there that. Because they always sell stuff for what their cost, so they'll sell like a $40 or $60 figure for 40 or $50 or $60 figure for $40. So I'm looking for some Cosmic Legions, hopefully, fingers crossed. And that's purely it. Just get in there and have a good time. Just hang out.
I'm looking for some 12-inch figures for Rogue Fun. I need four figures. And then I'm also looking for more Cantina Aliens 3.75, so I can finish off all the Cantina Aliens that have been made. Hopefully I can get a couple more. There's one that I realized I don't have, which I think is more expensive. It's a Legacy Collection. I can't remember her name. I made her in Black Series. She's the pink lady with the
Okay.
giant
Oh, yeah, with the big
head.
head. Yeah, I guess I'm probably going to dig through some bins at Toylana this year, see if I can find anything.
And if it's going to be like Toy Federation, not Toy Federation, what was that? Retro Toy Con?
Retro Toy Con.
There's going to be lots of those bins, and those things seem to be the things that are selling.
Yeah, I always love Toylana. It's one of those, it's an iconic show in Atlanta. I've been going for the last like 15 years, so it's always a fun time. March, what the, it's like March 21st or something. I
Something like that.
think I got it in my calendar. I don't know why I went to my phone. I could have just done it on my computer. And I don't have it marked. I think yeah, it's March 22nd through the 24th is when it is.
Good time. Good time
Good
by
time.
all.
Yes. Come to Toylana, where the players play.
Will the players play?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Never.
will the
You know, you
players
never heard
play?
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play, and then the
Oh,
party nonstop till. Okay. Old white guy trying to rap. Great podcast content.
that with that, we're gonna end this sucker. Thank you for listening to the Smugglers Galaxy podcast. If you could, please leave a like and a 5-star review of the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. It really helps us out and points people to our show. You could follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Make sure you go to the Facebook page and download your bingo card for 2024. Send us an email or message us. We'd love to make you part of the show like we did this episode. Our email address is smugglersgalaxy@gmail.com. Thank you to Alfonso Riviera for the Smugglers Galaxy logo. And thank you to Levi Waterhouse for the music. People, collect for the love of it. Hashtag vote with your wallet. Sabine will be on next week. Pass on what you learned. Be a positive force in the collective community.
This is the way.